We last time looked into actually in chapter 3, but I want us to look into chapter 4 tonight. We stopped at about verse 17 of chapter 3 last time. I want to remind you that Peter is writing to Christians in a world that is hostile to the gospel, that if Christians live their life in a consistent manner, they will be persecuted, they will suffer for the faith. There will be those that ridicule them. There would be times when perhaps employers, as he deals with servants in chapter 2, would mistreat God's people. And yet, as this book teaches, we should expect suffering. We should suffer as Christ did in chapter 2. In verse 23, while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. It is a matter of faith. It is a matter of trusting the God who controls all things, even the permission of suffering for the Christian, and to understand that suffering has a purpose. It is not just something that happens. It is part of God's plan for the Christian. Chapter 4, verse 12, he said, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you." Verse 19, "Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust themselves, their souls, to a faithful Creator in doing what is right." Suffering will come for the Christian at some point, depending on what, perhaps time in history, perhaps what location, what country, but it will come. And when it comes, we are not to respond sinfully to the suffering. Rather, we're to understand that God has a purpose in it, that our testimony in suffering is for a witness to those who persecute us, to teach them what the gospel is. But tonight we're going to see that suffering has another purpose as well, not just to bear testimony, as it says in chapter 3, verse 15, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account that is of the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." It is not only for witnessing. Suffering has been ordained by God also to help us in our battle against sin. In verses 18 through 22 of chapter 3, we have one of the more difficult passages in the Bible to interpret, and I'm not going to spend much time on the difficulty of interpretation of that passage. The teaching of this passage is centering on the fact that Jesus Christ suffered and rose again, and as a result of his death and resurrection and his ascension into heaven, verse 22, he is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. We'll come back another time to the many different and difficult interpretations of this passage, but I want us to see the therefore in chapter 4, verse 1. This is the intention of Peter in explaining Christ's death for our sins, unjust suffering, and resurrection from the dead. "Therefore, since Christ also suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousals, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. And in all this, they're surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. But they shall give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. Now in verse 1, he concludes something from the suffering of Christ that he's talked about in verses 18 through 22 of the previous chapter. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. One of the basic elements of fighting against sin is to have the courage to be faithful no matter what opposition we have. Our Lord Jesus Christ was faithful to the end and suffered death in his fight against sin. And in the same manner, when we suffer in the flesh, we have ceased from sin. In this manner, as soon as you accept suffering as part of the Christian life, then you no longer live for the smiles and frowns of others. And that helps you in your battle against sin. To no longer build your life on what others think or feel about you, how they may accept you or reject you, love you or hate you. To accept suffering as Christ suffered, and to understand that it is part of the calling of the Christian, that it is part of the will of God for our lives, is a great step forward in our battle against sin. Now we know who the real enemy is: sin and Satan and unrighteousness. And it does not matter any longer what others think of us, as long as Christ approves of us. And so suffering for the Christian is an essential element, because it is in the suffering and the terrible experience of opposition and rejection that we are forced to choose who will be our Lord: the Lord Jesus Christ, or these people who oppose us or persecute us or ridicule us or reject us. So those that go to work and those that go to school and live out in the world and day by day face those who oppose Christ and have no understanding of the gospel, have the opportunity to suffer and therefore to become more holy. Because God has given suffering not only as an opportunity to test our faith and an opportunity to bear witness to others of the love and grace that is in the gospel, when we do not hate them, when they hate us. But it is also given to make us choose more and more Christ and his righteousness over men and their ways. To accept suffering in the Christian life is absolutely essential to overcome sin, the fear of men, and to dedicate ourselves to being faithful to Christ. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousals, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. That belongs to our old ways, our previous days, when we were old men. Now we are new men, and we cannot enter in to those same things anymore as God's people. And when we do not, we will be opposed, maligned, and ridiculed. And Christ will use that to make us hate sin the more and to overcome it. Suffering is essential, and we must accept it and understand that it is not out of God's will for us. Let us pray.